All right. So today I want to speak to you in preparation, not only just for Mount Kisco sales days, but for September, I keep calling it sales days because that's what they called it for years.
Yeah.
It is Septemberfest.
Yeah.
One of the things that I want to just, just hone in on the next couple of weeks is I really want to talk about how to share your faith, how to go about being practical about sharing your faith. It is so vital in this day and age, in this time that we live in, that we learn that we do not have to be ashamed. We do not have to be ashamed at all. In fact, turn with me to Romans 1:16, and then we're going to go over to another opening in Scripture. And that's where we're going to begin today. But I want to, the subtitle of this is how is able to answer every man. Every man. In other words, every person who asks you. So it's not ashamed, if you're taking notes, not ashamed. Able to answer every man. Start with Romans 1:16. Romans 1:16. How to answer every man. Every man. We live in an age where it seems like every way is right in a man's own eyes. That is what is happening in our world today. There are so many people that have so many different causes and so many different things that they've grabbed a hold of. Young people are getting sucked into all kinds of causes because I believe that God inherently has put inside of young people this God-shaped hole to live for Him. And what they do is they try to fill it with every other thing that's out there. They try to fill it with whether it's politics or whether it's social justice, and none of those things are necessarily bad, but when that becomes your only thing, you're missing out on so much more that God has for us. And so Romans 1:16 says it this way. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Romans, he said this. He says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. It is written, the just shall live by faith." And so when we look at this verse, and now the second passage I want you to look at is Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. And one of the prison epistles. Once again, the Apostle Paul is speaking now to the Colossian church. And so in Colossians chapter 4, we're going to begin in verse 2. Colossians 4 and verse 2. He puts it this way. He says, "Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us, that God would open to us a door for the word, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest," in other words, clear, "as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer every man." Say, answer every man.
Answer every man.
It didn't say argue with every man, did it? Didn't say get mean with every man, did it? No, and it's talking in context of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. To continue earnestly in prayer. To earnestly continue in prayer. That's an ongoing action. God has put you in a place of influence. Whether you have the kind of personality that's a little bit on the introverted side, or if you are an extrovert and you walk into the room and everybody knows you're there. Regardless of what type of personality God created you to be, you're an influencer with somebody. You have a sphere of influence. You have people that know you, that are that have some kind of contact with you, some kind of relationship with you. And so God has put you in that place to be able to share Christ. And in order to share Christ, you need to be praying about what are those opportunities? What is that opportunity? What does it look like for you? You know, I work with about 150, 125, it can be as many as 150 people. And I work with them, and many of them have very different ideologies, faith, you name it, they're very diverse, the group that I work with. Very diverse. But I ask God in prayer, because what did he say there? He said to pray earnestly. I ask God, Lord, is there somebody you want me to talk to today? There have been moments where the Spirit of God has had me be really bold with people about praying for their healing. I mean, I'm talking about right in the middle of work and taking a risk and saying, listen, I'm going to be real bold right now. I remember I had one leader who was going through a very difficult marriage situation that his marriage was ending. And this was years ago when I first started working. And I remember I pulled him into the back hallway and I said, I know this is not work related, but I want to ask you, can I pray for you right now? He looked at me, and this is a big tough guy. He looked at me and he with tears in his eyes and he said, would you please, right now? You have to look for those opportunities. Making the most of every opportunity. Not ashamed of who you are. Listen, if people see your lifestyle, they see who you are, they see that you get up and you go to church, your neighbors know you're a church-going person. Did you know that? They know. Because neighbors who pay attention, the car pulls out every Sunday morning, and it's like, oh, and they got something in their hand. What is that? Oh, it could be a Bible. They must be church people. Listen, people know. They do pay attention to your life. They pay attention to your lifestyle. And they judge you according to that. Sometimes they judge you correctly. All judging is not bad. Sometimes they judge you correctly. Yep, I'm a church-going person. I am not ashamed. You got that right. Yep. Sunday mornings, I don't do that. When I was, when my kids were growing up, and the coaches would say, "All right, Sunday morning, we're having ball practice." I was like, "We won't be there." Not easy to do. Not easy to make that stand. But I would say, "I'm sorry, we won't be there." And they're like, "Oh, well, it's kind of mandatory." I'm like, "I'm sorry, we won't be there." Why? Because there is a different priority for us. I wasn't mean and ugly about it. I want to tell you, there has got to be a point where we say, yes, I'm a follower of Christ. No matter what. No matter what. And as we continue to keep Afghanistan in our prayers and the believers that are there. You know, I just read early this morning and it broke my heart that an entire church was eliminated. And I don't mean they were put in prison. They went to heaven. A whole church. An entire underground church. I want to tell you that God wants that kind of commitment from us. I'm not saying that to guilt us into that. I'm saying, are we that I am not ashamed that we're willing to suffer? I mean, the Apostle Paul put it there in Romans 1. Basically, I'm willing to suffer for the cause of Christ. I'm willing to say I'm all in. This gospel means something to me. It means something to me. He gave his everything for me. I'm giving my everything for him. And when we take those kind of stands, that's not just a general practicality thing. What's the rubber meet the road? The rubber meets the road that sometimes you do have to step out in faith and say, listen, can I pray for you? You know, when a coworker gets a phone call that's bad news from another family member from out of state, and you see that maybe they're shaken, those kind of things that you stop and you say, listen, can I pray for you? You're not trying to be an opportunist. You're trying to be Jesus' hands and feet in the earth. And so, Pastor, how do we pray? How do we pray? Because, you know, Colossians 4 there tells us to pray earnestly. Well, that means sincerely, right? Go back to Colossians 4 there. Let's look at that. Let's look at that in 2. It says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Vigilant in it. Lord, there are opportunities that God would put across your path. If you're not vigilant, you may not recognize it. If you're just in your own world and you're going through your day and you're at work or you're at school or you're just going through your day in the neighborhood, at the store, and you are not vigilant to that prompting of the Holy Spirit, hey, pay for the groceries, the person behind you. You see, the promptings of the Holy Spirit are quiet and gentle most of the time. They're that quiet, gentle thing that you just kind of feel that tug on your heart. And, you know, and sometimes when you open your mouth, I have to tell you, it takes faith to step out of the boat. Why? The comfort zone is I don't need to say anything to anybody. They don't see me. It's kind of like, you know, no eye contact. You know, it's like they don't need to see me. I don't need to be noticed right now. I don't want the boss upset with me. I don't want this. I don't want that. It's easier to blend in. It's harder to take that step out. And again, I'm not saying you do it just to say, look at me and you know, shine a light on yourself. I'm talking about being his hands, his feet in the earth. When we say, okay, Lord, I'm going to be vigilant. Vigilant mean, what does vigilant mean to you? I'll tell you what it means to me. It means to be aware. Aware of what's going on. Aware that that coworker is hurting. Aware that that person is going through something. You know, for many years, one of our parishioners worked for an airline. In fact, she's here this morning. And often, she was noted for that. She would reach out to her colleagues. She would reach out to people who didn't even embrace Christ, but she would reach out to them when they were going through something difficult. And she would say, she would take that step of faith and say, can I pray for you? I've heard many, many testimonies from, actually, I'll tell you, it's from Brenda. And, you know, many testimonies that way. And I want to tell you, that's the kind of practical way that we are vigilant praying for. So the first thing, Pastor, pray for an open door. Pray for an open door. Now, there are a couple of doors in this space right here. There's, my goodness, I'm looking at a bunch of doors over there. There's one that's open over here. There's one that's cracked over there. There's two that are wide open back here. But it took me looking around to see that that door was open or that door was cracked. A door is something that is designed for you to walk through. Okay? A door is something that is designed for you to walk through. So the way we pray is we say, God, open a door for me. We read in Colossians 4 that the Apostle Paul was saying that to them. He was basically saying, pray that there's an open door. An open door is a place that I could walk through and have an opportunity to do what? To just have fun? No. To say, look at me? No. But to present the life-changing message of Jesus Christ. If you've ever met Cliff Graham is constantly saying, the Lord opened up a door. The Lord opened up a door. That phrase, the Lord opened up a door, is part of his vocabulary. We don't use it that much in our culture, that there was an opportunity, but that's what we're talking about, an opportunity. Lord, open up an opportunity. But if we're not vigilant in prayer, praying about those things, praying, Lord, who do you want me to talk to today? Who do you want me to speak to today? And it says in verse 3, meanwhile, praying for us that God would open to us a door for the word. A door for what? For the word. Why? Because the word is what people need. They need the life-giving word of God to change the way they're thinking, the way they're acting, the way they're speaking. If they're already a Christian, it's just going to encourage them. If they're not a Christian, it's going to be an opportunity for you to present the gospel. You know, sometimes I think we confuse just, I got to invite people to church with the gospel. It's important to invite people to church. I want you to invite people to church. But at the same time, I want people to know Christ. And the two are not synonymous. Sometimes they're connected. But if you share Christ with somebody who lives in Ohio, they ain't coming to our church. You understand? But I want you to be able to share Christ in your life. Look for those open opportunities. Pray for those open opportunities. Father, pray for an open door to share. That, what does that look like? A conversation? That looks like you being vigilant, checking to see if the door is cracked, if the door is open. You know, sometimes, you know, in sales, they do say things like, every no is closer to a yes. That's what they say. Every no is closer to a yes. And that's the optimist's version. But that's also, that can be faith-filled. Every time that you want to share and you come up against that closed door, sorry, you can be kind and back off. There have been many people in my life, especially growing up and getting on fire for God as a teenager, where I would go to share the gospel and they weren't open to it at that moment. But it's funny how sometimes circumstances open the door. And when those circumstances open the door and you see that door is open, if you are in your own world, you won't see that the door is open. You will miss the opportunity. You'll miss it. Because there are opportunities that present themselves, and sometimes they are only open for a short time. That door would only be open for a short time. I recall, and I'm really, please understand my heart in this, I'm not tooting my own horn. But I remember a time where for years, Christine's mom was sharing the gospel with her aunt. It would have been Christine's great aunt. And one day we were going down to visit her in Brooklyn. And the great aunt was never really that much open to the gospel. And we were sitting in Spumoni Gardens in Brooklyn, New York, eating pizza. And all of a sudden, the door opened. And I was in the conversation with the great aunt. And I get teary-eyed because I think it was not long that she went to heaven. Not long after that. But here's a woman, I forget how old she was. She was close to 90. She was 96. The door opened. I was aware of it. The family had been praying. They were aware of it. They backed way off and they let me have the conversation. And Aunt Connie received Christ. Amen. Tears streaming down her face. I want to tell you, the open doors are all around us. The cracked doors are all around us. Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful. Pray you therefore to the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers into the harvest field. You and I are those laborers. You and I. You need to be like the prophet Isaiah. Lord, here am I, send me. You know, we used to say this in Bible school, and it was something that Christine and I, we kind of adapted to our own life. Listen, I'm going to share the gospel with somebody's aunt, cousin, child, friend, because I want somebody to share the gospel with my aunt, child, friend, somebody who doesn't know the Lord. When we are in those situations, we choose the faithfulness of God. And we say, God, open the door for me to share Christ. No. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12 is an example of the Apostle Paul talking about doors again. He said this, furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, a door was opened unto me of the Lord. God will open up doors and opportunities for you if you're looking for them. In Acts chapter 14 in verse 27. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. God opens those doors, those circumstances, those situations when people are ripe, when they are ripe for the harvest. You know, if you have a fruit tree in your yard, sometimes you go over to touch the fruit and you're like, oh, that's not ready. That one's not ready. If you have tomatoes in your yard, oh, that one's not ready. It's green. You don't pull it down unless a storm's coming, right? You just leave it there because you want it to get nice and colorful before you pull it, because then you get the best flavor. You know, it's the same with people. Sometimes we'll go to people and we'll start to share the gospel with them, but it's just not the right time. It's not the right time. That's why I say that God wants us to share the gospel, not argue the gospel. Avoid arguments at all costs. If somebody wants to argue with you, just shut that baby down. Because you could win an argument. If you're a real good debater, you could win an argument. But guess what? You're just going to make it harder for another believer to talk to that person. You could be really feisty and be the best debater in the planet. But guess what? What's more important, you winning the argument or showing them the love of God? I have something that I think will be help to you when you go to share your faith. You can't argue with a changed life. Your testimony of what Jesus has done for you, can't argue with that. These days, nobody will. You know why? Because they have a certain modicum amount of respect that you have found faith. That's why sometimes they'll go, oh, well, that's good for you. You know, my Buddhism over here is what I'm trusting in. But that's nice for you. So there's a certain modicum amount of respect that way. So just know this. You can't argue with a changed life. You saw me before, and now you know me after. Guess what? Jesus still changes lives. Amen? Amen? The book of Revelation tells us that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So when we are sharing our faith, we are literally prophesying. Turn with me now to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, verse 6. It says, now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia after they were come to Mysia. They essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. Do you know that there are times when you go to share the gospel with somebody, if you will be sensitive to the Lord, it may not be the right time. I'm not talking about you chickening out, okay? Don't look at me in that tone of voice, okay? You're like, oh, that's really easy. Man, I don't need to share the gospel with them. They're just not. But, you know, there are times when somebody is really feisty. That might be the opportunity. I'm not saying get in an argument. I'm just saying that might be the opportunity. You know, when I was a youth minister, there was a young man who literally, he was such a problem for me. He was in the back of the church, distracting. He sat on the back row with young girls and heard all kinds of junk about stuff that he was doing that was wrong and was horrible. And he was coming to church every week, though. Now, understand, this was youth group. And we had close to 100-plus kids coming to youth group. He's sitting on the back row. And so one night, I just lost my cool with him because I saw him back there while I was preaching. Pastor Christine was there. And I saw him back there, and I was so angry. And I just, after church, I went over to him. And if you've heard the expression, I gave him both barrels. I mean, you know, I was like, what are you doing here? Why do you even come? You don't even listen to a word that I said. He looked at me in a feisty tone. He looked at me and he goes, bet. Ask me anything for the last 3 weeks. I didn't even remember what I preached 3 weeks ago. He could verbatim spit back all the points for the last 3 weeks. 2 weeks later, or within 2 weeks, he gave his heart to Christ. But I almost blew it by the way I handled it. Again, sometimes God will shut that door for you to share, or he'll forbid you to keep going in a direction that you think you should go. Just because you think you could win an argument doesn't mean you should. Sometimes you need to just kind of step back and start praying. Because that could be an indication that God is totally at work in this situation. All right, go back to Colossians 4, if you would. Colossians 4. Amen. I hope you're getting something out of this. I'm trying to be practical in getting you to share your faith, that we can answer every man. Every man. You can answer people when they say things to you, right? He said in verse 2, continue earnestly in prayer. That was what we said. We're praying for an open door. We're praying for an open door. In other words, what are we praying for? An open opportunity. We're being vigilant in that, right? Meanwhile, praying for us that God would open the door for us, that we would speak the mystery of Christ for which I'm in chains. Verse 4, that I might manifest, or that I might make it clear. I think that's another problem that we as Christians sometimes have. We're not real clear with the gospel. We're not real clear with what we're trying to share with people. And don't get caught up in how many angels can dance on the top of a pin. You know, and all these theoretical things. Don't get caught up in those kind of arguments, because it'll distract you from the main point. The main point is Jesus loves you. He died for you. John 3:16 says it this way, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Don't forget verse 17, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him would be saved. See, when we are sharing the gospel, keep it simple. You've heard the KISS principle, right? Keep it simple, silly. I'm being nice. Keep it simple, silly. Keep it simple. Keep it simple, saints. I like that better. Keep it simple, saints. Jesus died for you. He loves you. He wants you to accept his forgiveness. It's a free gift. You can't earn it. You can't be good enough. You know, years ago in the church that I was ordained with, there was some old timers, and they really did have a song that said, if your hair's too long, there's sin in your heart. Get it cut today and get a brand new start. And they were more concerned with the external, more concerned with outward appearances than they were the heart in that particular context. I'm not saying everyone in that denomination did that, but there were some old timers that were a little bit more legal in some of those things. And so I want you just to understand, keep the gospel simple. Pray for an open door, right? That's what we want to do. We want to pray for an open door, an open door. And now we need to pray not only an open door, but God, that you would open my mouth. Open my mouth. Give me the courage to open my mouth, to speak boldly. So open the door, God. Open my mouth. In other words, give me the words to answer everybody. That's what we're talking about. Give me the words that I need to share that with somebody. The boldness that I need. The boldness to know you're with me. So open the door, God. Open the door. I'm giving you keys to praying on how to share your faith. But see, this is not just, oh, I want to pray for the lost and that's it. There is an action step required of all of us, that we would put action to our faith. Not just, oh, I'm praying for the lost today. But what about the lost person that just walked by you? What about the person that you work with every single day? Looking for those opportunities to kind of get the gospel in. I'm praying for you. What can I do for you? Sharing your love and concern for them in reality. Not just to, you know, put like a notch on your belt to say, oh, I won them to Christ, or I shared my faith. Check, did that. No, but to genuinely care for people. God, that you would open our mouth. Opening your mouth, and I wrote this down when I was preparing this, opening your mouth becomes an act of faith. It's that moment of time where you even have butterflies. Are they going to reject me? They might. They might. And you're just going to have to deal with that. They might. I lost friends when I took a stand for Christ. I did. You know, sometimes you even have tension with family when you take a stand for Christ. I had a friend in high school that was Jewish. And he became what is known as a messianic Jew. And in that process, he lost relationships within his own family. I'm telling you that the gospel it's free, but it does cost something. It's our whole life. Again, I'm not saying we can earn our salvation. We can't. But isn't Jesus wonderful that he gave us everything? And he asks us to share. So we say, God, open the door for me to share. Help me to be vigilant and be aware of it. God, open my mouth. And then this is the last part of your prayer. Lord, open their heart. God can open their heart. God can change. The Word of God tells us that God can change the heart of a king. He can change the heart of a king. He can move it in a different direction. It is God who can change the heart of a human being. He is the only one who can truly change the heart of a human being. The only one who can take care of the things that need to be taken care of. He's the only one who can soften the heart. And you can sometimes, when you walk through this process with somebody that you know, that you maybe over a long period of time have shared the gospel with, over a long period of time, I've seen this over years in certain situations where people were resistant to the gospel, resistant to the gospel, resistant to the gospel, resistant to the gospel. But then there's several believers who just keep coming back, keep coming back, keep coming back. And every time they come, every no is closer to a yes. All of a sudden you start to see some cracks in that foundation. Why? Because the gospel is the power of God revealed. I'm not ashamed of that gospel, and neither should you be. So now, God, not only open the door, not only open my mouth, but open their heart. Open their heart for the life-giving power of God to change them, to minister to them, to ultimately transform their lives. That's the good news. You see, gospel means good news. It doesn't mean bad news. So when you see people that are shouting in the streets with big signs telling everybody they're going to hell, that's not good news. There may be truth in some things that are posted, But you know what? We're not talking about compromising truth. We're talking about being led from a heart of compassion. When Jesus saw the multitudes, he said, they are like sheep without a shepherd. Right? When he looked out and saw the harvest, he saw the harvest and said, the harvest is plenteous. The workers are few. In other words, you can determine to be one of those workers. You are the one who could say, you know what? I'm going to be one of the few. And I'm going to help bring in the harvest. I'm going to say, Lord, open the door. Open my mouth. And open their heart. Can we say that out loud? Say, Lord, open the door. Now say, Lord, open my mouth. Say, Lord, open their heart. I challenge you this week. Be vigilant in this kind of prayer. I want to hear the testimonies of what God is going to do. Some of you have been sharing for years with maybe a family member, maybe a relative, a distant relative, maybe even a child, maybe a coworker or somebody in your neighborhood, and you've shared and you've shared and you've shared, and you feel like they're never going to listen. Every no is closer to a yes. Watch for the cracks. Open the door. Open my mouth. And open their heart. Amen. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this word that you've given us. It is the season for God's people. Not just this church. But Lord, for God's people to rise up. To be instruments of healing where there is strife, where there is anger, where there is pain, where there is bitterness and unforgiveness and sickness and disease, and that we would be the hands and the feet of Jesus on this earth. That we would be the ones who open our mouths. Open our mouths, Lord, the door. The doors are open all around us. And Lord, that our hearts, that our heart would be open, that our mouth would be open so that you can open their hearts. Father, I pray, God, for your people that are listening to this message today. God, that they would act on the word. They would act and live this word out Sunday night, Monday morning, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. That they would see your faithfulness in opening the door. They would see your faithfulness in opening their mouth. And they would see your faithfulness in changing hearts and lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. With every head bowed and every eye closed, you're still here, or maybe you're watching online. Maybe you're listening to this. I was talking to believers today, and I was basically just encouraging them to share their faith so that they would be able to make an answer for every man. In other words, that we're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. And so, if you're listening to that and you're like, you know, I don't even know if I'm a Christian. I don't know if I'm going to heaven. You can know, and it's pretty easy. I'm not talking about church membership. I'm not talking about baptism. I am talking about, do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? It's real simple. The Bible calls it being born again out of John chapter 3. And all you have to do is, according to Romans 10, 9, and 10, is to believe in your heart and confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior. It's real simple. We're going to pray a simple prayer. You can pray along with us right there online. If you're watching this after it's been recorded, you can know Jesus. And it's real simple. You just say, Father God, I come to you in Jesus' name. I believe that you are the Son of God, that you died for my sins. I receive your forgiveness, and I call Jesus my Lord from this day forth in Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer, it's real easy. You've received Christ into your life. He lives inside of you now, and you have become a new creation. We want to help you in your walk of faith. You can message us through Facebook Messenger. We'd like to send you something and help you in your walk with God. I want to encourage you, get into a Bible-believing church if you're not already in one, so that you can learn and grow in the things of God and things of faith. Amen. Praise God. Let's stand to our feet right now and let's pray our sending out verse on our whole family, on our church family during these days where people are so operating in fear. There's so much turmoil around us. Let's take this verse to heart as our verse this week. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalm 121:7-8. God bless you.